as we were worshiping there, I really felt strong. I prepared to finish Ezekiel 16 tonight, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to share something else, which I was fighting against really strongly because I do not like teaching off the cuff. Lord, ever ask you to do something that you really weren't comfortable doing? Isn't that part of following Jesus? So, I'm really not happy with the Lord right now, but but there was a certain section of scripture that really the Lord spoke to me personally this morning in my private devos that I was prompted to go through it. Some of the things that we were singing in worship and stuff just kind of really, I think, led me in that direction, or the Lord was prompting me. So anyways, go ahead and turn to Mark 6 when you get your Bible. And we're going to be in a familiar account here of Jesus walking on the water. If this thing's really short, it's because I didn't prepare much for it. But you know what? Amen. I hope you guys are going to play and go home early. So we're going to be in Mark 6. Just to kind of give you some background to the section we're going to be in. You guys know the story of him feeding the thousands of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Like, basically, there's a whole crowd of all these people, and he asks, you know, his disciples to feed them, and they're kind of like, what are we going to do? We can't, you know, buy enough, and there's 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they bring what they have to Jesus, and he breaks it and multiplies it and gives it to them to give to the people. And it's an awesome picture of how anything we do for the Lord, it's always got to go through him. We bring our meager offering to him, and then he multiplies it, and he blesses it and, like, feeds thousands, you know, tons of fruit from it. So that miraculous thing just happened to them, all right? They just saw this crazy miracle Jesus did. And you'd think nothing's impossible with him, like total faith, right? You have those moments where you see God do something in your life, and you're like, that was God. That was an answer to prayer. That is no other question. And, like, you would think, like, I'll never have a problem with faith again after seeing him do that. And then, you know, shortly after, some trial comes in your life, and you're right back in that place of, like, being fearful or just like, Lord, are you going to come through for me? So that's kind of what happens in this situation here. So let me read through this section. I'll pray one more time, and then off the cuff, I'll just go what the Lord kind of showed me. So verse 45, it says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethesda, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass them, or to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I especially just pray you'd be with us today and as we go through the scripture. And I know personally what you've shown me, but Lord, I know that you have a personal word for everyone in here in this room. So I pray that you would just speak through this passage, and you would speak to every one of us here individually and what you want to speak to us, what you want to show us. I know there's a reason that you've brought us to this passage tonight. So if there's stuff applicable, I mean, there will be at some point in our lives, but if there's stuff applicable right now we're going through that you're trying to speak to us regarding, I pray, Lord, that we just have attentive ears and we'd hear what it is you want to say to us, so that we go from here with that same peace that you brought them when you got into the boat, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So it says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethesda, while he dismissed the crowd. So there's this huge group of people, that he just fed, right? And he apparently has to make his disciples leave. Don't know if they didn't want to go without him or what exactly was going on there, but it says he made them go into the boat and go before him to the other side. So one thing I like to point out, or that has always stuck out to me, is he tells them ahead of time they're going to make it to the other side. Okay? And that's key. Because anytime God tells us something in his word, it's a sure thing. All right? Mm-hmm. I mean, can you honestly say God has never come through for you in some point? And I realize some of us have gone through hard things and we haven't, at the end, in a sense, come to the other side yet. But of all the things in my life, I can honestly say God has always gotten me to the other side. Yeah. Now, ultimately, there is going to be a great other side when we're on the other side of heaven, if you will, and we're with the Lord, and everything's perfect like it's supposed to be. But he's always gotten me to the other side. And we know he always will, right? He says that no matter what you go through, I'm working all things for your good. Amen. For those that are called according to my purpose. You know, it's like for those that love God, like he is working for your good. Through Jesus Christ, every situation will work for your good. Doesn't say it's going to work out the way you want. But here's the thing. Just like I don't do everything that my kids want. I still am working everything for their good. And God, to an even greater degree, can do that for us because he's perfect. He knows everything. He knows everything going on, everything that has gone on in your life, everything that will go on, and he has this perfect plan for you. So you're always going to get to the other side, all right? And that always sticks out with me because these guys, he said it to them. You're going to get to the other side, and that's where their faith should have stood on, you know, not what happened in between where they started and where they went. Because see, that's where we get messed up. The details in between, like we don't understand them. Why is this going on? You sent us out into the sea, Lord, and you knew there was going to be a storm. Why the heck did we have to go through the storm? But see, that's not for us to question. You know, God's still using all of that somehow, but we focus on the surety we have in telling us that it's going to be all right. When you get through this, you're not going to understand everything. And quite frankly, I'm not going to tell you what's between here and there because you wouldn't have gotten the boat if I told you. But there's a purpose to this. But you're going to get out. You're going to come through it all right. All right? And that's what he tells these guys here. And he says, after he had taken leave of them, he went up to the mountain to pray. And I love that because this is just one of the many instances you see that it was important for the Son of God to pray. I mean, he just got done feeding the masses. I mean, the guy was probably tired. Could have had every legit reason to just kind of go in the boat and relax. But no, he's like, I need to pray. And so he breaks away and he comes and he prays to God. He lets them go ahead. And it says, and when evening came, the boat was out on the sea and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. All right, so even though he's on the land and he's in the sea, you know, I don't know, like, how far away they are. I mean, but somehow he sees them. All right, so, I mean, maybe he's watching from land. He sees them in the distance and he sees them struggling, you know, like there's a wind against them. Or maybe, I mean, because he's God and he sees all things, he just knows. But here's the thing that really sticks out to me is that in their moment of distress, he saw, and he was watching. Even as he was praying, even as he was back on the land, even, I mean, the Son of God obviously knew what was going to happen, but the whole entire time, he's aware of the situation. And sometimes we've got to remind ourselves of that. Because, like, in our flesh, we forget. Like, God's not here, or he doesn't feel like he's here, or how could he let me in the storm? I mean, in this case, he actually sent them into that storm, all right? And that's with the promise of getting them to the other side. But he willingly knew he sent them into the storm. So sometimes God sends us into those storms. But he's always aware. It's not like he just sent you out there blatantly. He's like, oh, I didn't check the weather report. You know, it's like that storm came upon me. I didn't even know it was going to happen. No, he knows it all. And so he is aware of what's going on at every single moment of these guys, like everything going on. He's watching, all right? And it says that two things that really stuck out to me this morning is that they were making headway painfully, okay, because the wind was against them. And so, like, the idea of it being painful, this was obviously the will of God, okay? Does anyone question it was the will of God for them to be out on the sea? No, because he told them, right?
Right.
So there was no, like, again, like, he didn't tell him all the details, but he told him, go into the boat. It says he made them, actually. Go into the boat and go to the other side. So this is the will of God. We're always wondering if we're in the will of God, right? We always want to be, that's the best place you could be, in the will of God. But here's what sticks out to me, is even in the will of God, it was painful, okay? Because sometimes, a lot of times in my life, it's hard. And that the automatic assumption is maybe I'm not in the will of God because things are hard. Is this really what, like, the Lord has for me? But God is really honest that in this life, you're going to have tribulation.
Yes.
That means things are going to be hard, okay? If you need that defined, it's going to be hard. We look forward to the next life where they won't be hard. But things are hard in your life. That's a normal thing. We got to accept that, right? Anyone that's sitting there telling you that, oh, become a Christian, everything's going to be rainbows and unicorns, they're lying. They don't maybe they're not lying. They don't know God's word, all right? Because it's going to be hard. But the thing is, as a Christian, you also have the promise that in the hard things, that's where God's going to do the major work in you. First, he's going to be with you in those hard things. That's really you in the fire, if you will, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. There's that fourth person in there with him. Like, that's where you really meet God. I've experienced that enough in my life to know it's like Paul, he's by the end of his life, he's embracing suffering in Philippians because he's saying, if this is what it takes to know Jesus, then so be it, because that's what I want. I want to know him more. And so that's where you really meet God. The intimacy grows, but also, like, he produces spiritual maturity through that, he says in his word. So those hard things, in a sense, when Jesus comes into your life, they're no longer pointless. There's a point to them, and it's a very good point because it's part of the process of conforming you to the image of him, of himself, of his son. So you're becoming more like Jesus. You're having faith produced in you so that basically you see God, you feel his presence in your life, you know he's there to a greater degree, and when those hard things come at you, you just handle them better, not because you're handling them yourself, you're handling them with the Lord, all right? So, but the key thing to remember is that just because it's painful, just because it's hard what you're going through, doesn't mean you're not in the will of God. Quite honestly, I like how it says the wind was against them. Because if you are in the will of God, you better believe that the enemy is not happy that you're there. Because when you're doing God's will, that's where you're going to be most satisfied, and that's where he's going to be most glorified. He wouldn't have you there otherwise, because just like we looked at a couple weeks ago in John 15, what is the goal of abiding with Jesus? To be fruitful. God intends for you to be fruitful. He intends to produce fruit in you, which is like, you know, that it means all types of things, but it means more maturity in Christ. It means being used by him to do mighty things, like you getting stuff done in you and him doing stuff through you. That's God's goal for your life, all right? But the enemy doesn't want that. He doesn't want God to reveal himself to you. He doesn't want God to use you in a mighty way. So he's going to do everything he can to come against you, to push back. And what I've come to learn as a Christian is some of those times where things, like, are hardest, it's because you're exactly where God wants you to be, doing what he wants you to do. And honestly, as you're maturing as a Christian, those things just usually get harder because God knows you can handle it more. Not in your own power, but he knows you're more reliant on him. And so, if you're not ready, like, if you have some kind of false understanding, your life's probably just going to get harder in Christ because God is producing further maturity in you. That's part of further conforming him to you to the image of his son. Okay? So, that's the first thing that really stuck out to me in this, is that, man, just because it's painful, it doesn't mean that you're not in the will of the Lord. So if you've got hard things going on in your life right now, I'm sure if you don't have right now, you've had in the past, or you will in the future, don't automatically assume that you're somewhere God doesn't want you to be. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're honestly doing something that's it's not according to God's word, it's opposite of it, and there's hard things, that's a bad thing. You know, basically, there's going to be consequences when you're doing things that aren't according to God's word. But if you're, at best you can tell, I mean, you're surrendered to God, you're like, man, I don't see sin in my life, I don't see anything I'm doing wrong. It's like, it doesn't mean just because it's hard, you're not in the will of the Lord. So that's the first thing, okay? Just because it's hard doesn't mean you're not in the will of the Lord. These guys were in the will of the Lord, and it was hard. Second thing, just because it feels hard does not mean you're not making headway, okay? We sing that song, Waymaker. where it's like, even if you don't see it, he's working, okay? That's where we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. We're called to walk, we're called to focus on the unseen, not the seen. You've got all of these promises in God's word. Like, if you're living your life for him, if you're doing things for him according to his word, it's not going to be fruitless. Like, it's going to be fruitful. Like, he's going to do something with that, whether you see it or not. So, there's a lot of times in my life where I'm like, is anything I'm doing even mattering to you, God? I'm not seeing results. I'm not seeing fruit. Like, it feels like you're not here. But that's where you got to have faith that God says he absolutely is doing stuff. You're making headway. You're always going forward, like towards him. You're running that race, following the path that he lays before you. It doesn't really matter whether you feel like you're making headway or not, all right? Like I can be really results-driven personally, all right? I want to see, like, you know, results. I want to see numbers. I want to see, like, people getting saved. I want to see, like, my kids, like, obeying everything I say. You know, you want to see that because we're kind of a results-driven people. That's what we're taught. We got to see things. But that's not the way it works with God's economy. And with God, it's kind of cool too, because whereas in the world you very much, in a sense, have to see results to know something positive is happening, you don't need to see results to know something positive is being done with God, because he says, whether you see it or not, I'm doing it. All right? Just be faithful and obedient, and I will work. Okay? So that's another thing that really sticks out to me, and we should take away from this. Man, even if it doesn't feel like God's working, man, if you're wholeheartedly following him, doesn't mean you're perfect, but like, man, I just want to follow you, Lord. I want to live for you. You're seeking that, it's like you're making headway. Even if things feel difficult, okay? Just because it feels like there's something pressing you back and you're not getting, like these guys are rowing as hard as they can. They don't feel like they're getting where they're supposed to be going. It says here, they were making headway. Amen? Amen. All right. So we saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." So this is interesting. And honestly, this, I read this many times for many years, and this part didn't stick out to me, that he meant to pass by them. I mean, so he sees that they're painfully making headway, you know, that this wind is against them. And so it says that in the fourth watch, he comes out walking on the sea, but it says, like, you would think, like, oh, they're having difficulty, they're struggling, I got to go help them. But that's not what it says, right? It says that he was just going to walk on by. All right? Like, in essence, like, he really, like, thought, like, guys, I told you you're going to get to the other side. Just keep rowing. I mean, I know it's hard. It doesn't feel like, you know, like you're getting anywhere, but just keep doing it. I told you you're going to get to the other side. I told you everything's going to be fine. Just keep going. And, like, you know, he in a sense, expected them to be all right with that. You know, especially probably after seeing him, like, do what he just did through them and feeding those thousands of people. Like, he's just like, yeah, you guys should be fine. Just keep going, you know? But when they see him, they freak out. They get scared. And that's when he decides, okay, well, I better go over to them now, all right? Because I don't know. It doesn't say exactly why. Maybe they were going to give up or whatever, and he didn't want them. But, you know, I think it's a good lesson to us that, again, even though we don't feel like he's there, he's always aware. He always knows what's going on, okay? But even if, in a sense, we lack faith, even if we, in a sense, get fearful, even if we just, in a sense, are ready to stop rowing, only God knows when he needs to, in a sense, make his presence known in your life. Only God knows when you need that extra touch, when you need to hear from him, when you need that special word of encouragement through a brother or sister, whatever it might be. God knows when you need that. And he's more than willing to give it. He's not going to get mad at you, and he's going to knock you upside the head. He's not going to say, "Man, I just fed all these people through you." It's like, "Man, I just did this awesome work in your life, Scott. When are you going to get it?" It's like, no, he doesn't do that, all right? It's like he is just constantly full of grace. He's full of patience. He's full of mercy. He doesn't show, I mean, doesn't say he's not angry at these guys or anything, but he simply just goes over to them and he says, guys, be courage. It's okay. Don't be afraid. It's just me. I'm just here. And I like that. Because, I mean, we're told, we were praying it just in the prayer room, we're told all through the Bible, don't be afraid. Fear is not from the Lord. I was just praying back there because I've talked to some people over the last couple of weeks, and it seems to be, like, building on this whole coronavirus. And like, there's just fear. And it's like, okay, I'm not saying don't be diligent, all right? I mean, obviously, I don't know about you guys, I don't just don't want to hang out with somebody with the coronavirus. I don't want to hang out with somebody with the cold or the flu, okay? I don't want to be sick. So it's like, if you're sick, stay home. And it's like, yeah, it's cold season. I tell my boys this all the time. Quit putting your fingers in your mouth. Like, wash your hands, you know? It's like, do whatever you need to. Yes, the Lord has given us discernment. Be wise. But one thing I can tell you absolutely is not the Lord's will for you. Don't be fearful. That is not the Lord's will for you. You don't have to be fearful because you've got a sovereign God that's in control. And if he really wants me to get the coronavirus, then I will. And if he really wants me to get like a really bad secondary infection, even though I'm a healthy young adult, then I will. And if he really wants me to die from it, you know what? I'll be in heaven, so I don't really care. I mean, there's all these reasons not to be fearful. But we don't have to be fearful. And God is so good to constantly remind us of that. And even in these guys in their situation where they shouldn't have been fearful, he's there to remind them, guys, don't be afraid. It's okay. And even at that point, what I like about it is it says he gets into the boat. He doesn't just keep walking. He's like, all right, they need me with them through this one, all right? Even though they just saw me feed the 5,000, they should have all the faith. I can't leave them. I got to be with them through this, all right? And see, God will be there when you need him, all right? If you're going through something hard and you feel like he's not there, first of all, he's aware of it. He's there. But if you feel like he's not close or something, you're not hearing from them, it's not because for some reason he's neglecting you or something. It's like he's basically just saying, hey, you know what? I've already told you you're going to get to the other side. And trust me, you're going to be good with that. You don't need me in the boat with you, all right? But if you do, there's another reason to be confident that he will manifest himself. He'll show you. He'll speak to you. He'll give you that fleece. He'll give you like that confirmation. He'll do whatever he needs to do to keep you going in the right direction. He's not going to be mad at you for having to do that. Amen? That's what you see with these guys too. And it says, it goes on to say, you got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. I love that too, because he knows when you've had enough, okay? And again, it's, you know, I think sometimes we can slow the refining process down sometimes because maybe we're fearful when we should be faithful and stuff. But God's going to complete that work he started in you, amen? That's what he says. And so even if we slow it down, it's like even if we have to stop, if you will, that's okay. He's bigger than any mistake we make. He'll get you to, you're still going to the other side, no matter how you get there, all right? But he knows when to stop something because basically, in a sense, like it's, you're not ready for it, okay? Now, having said that too, if he sends you into a storm, it's because he knows you're ready for it, all right? Like, other than, like, what being ready means is that you're reliant, you can be reliant on him, all right? You've had enough, you've seen him be faithful enough in your previous life, just like these guys had seen him do some miraculous things, that you should have enough faith to trust him to get you to the other side, all right? So, he tells him, let's see, he got into the boat, the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Okay, so just to kind of wrap this back up, it says right at the end there that they didn't understand about the loaves, or basically they didn't get what they should have from that. Like, in seeing him do this miraculous thing, they should have understood that, hey, if God can do anything, there's nothing he can't do. Because they were doubtful on how to feed all those people, and then he just did that through them. So they're doubtful in the storm, like, you know, are we going to get to the other side? And they should have had faith there. But it points out here that they didn't understand about the loaves. But then even in this miraculous thing that just happened right here, in that they're rowing, and there's this big storm, and then Jesus comes in and stops that storm, says their hearts were hardened, or basically the idea being that they still didn't get it. And man, I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to be a person that keeps not getting it. You know, like in sense, like the amazing stuff the Lord is doing right in front of me and not learning from it what he wants me to learn from it, all right? And I think, honestly, the best way to learn, if you will, from the stuff the Lord has done in your life is to be intentional about remembering the stuff that you've already seen him do time and time again, all right? You see that with the Israelites all throughout the Old Testament. When they're facing a trial, the first thing they do, and when they're right, they go to God with it, and their prayers usually start with them remembering, like, all the things he'd done in the past. Lord, you brought us out of Egypt. Lord, you brought us through the desert. You brought us into the promised land. Like, remembering his past faithfulness gave him confidence of his present faithfulness, all right? And so it's good to do that, to remember all the times the Lord's come through. In this situation, they should have remembered about the loaves, but they didn't. And then, in a sense, they still had hard hearts, or they still weren't learning from what God was trying to teach them. So, you know, maybe as we kind of finish up tonight super early, like I thought we would, and I have the worship team come back up here, maybe that's one way we could start just kind of before we go into that time of worship. Maybe we could just spend some time kind of out loud, as you guys feel led, praising God for his past faithfulness. Like, things he's done in your life where it was obvious that he did it. Now, the number one thing we should be praising God for is our salvation, right? That's the biggest miracle any of us have ever seen. Because as we're seeing in Ezekiel, man, we're wretched. We were naked and bare when God found us. Like, we had nothing, okay? So anything you have good in your life, as it says in James, is from above. All the good things God has done in your life, everything good that's been done in your life, that's been God that has done that, all right? We have so much to be thankful for. And the reality is, like, when people say, like, I got a boring testimony, really? You were dead, and he raised you to life, all right? He resurrected you. That is not boring, okay? If you tell anyone, you go up to them, you just say, hey, Jesus resurrected me from the dead, they're not going to think that's boring, okay? They might not understand that in the right context, but it's not boring. It's even a greater thing that he resurrected you from spiritual death, that you're in eternal life with him right now, okay? So, he's done the greatest miracle in every single person in here, that if you placed your faith in Jesus, you should be praising the heck out of him for that, okay? But on top of that, there's been all these practical examples of his goodness in your life, these miraculous things he's done. You shouldn't have to think too hard to think of those, all right? Sometimes we take it for granted. It might even be the little stuff of just providing our daily bread, all right? Realizing, I mean, that was the Israelites' problem. They kept forgetting, like, oh, we have all these blessings. Look at how great we are. No, you're not great. All these blessings are from God. And if we don't acknowledge him for that, we start to forget that. But, man, just thinking, Lord, I ate yesterday, and I ate well. It's like, praise you for that, all right? I'm in a room right now, and I'm warm. I'm not cold, despite I live in a place where the sun only comes out 30 days a year. I praise you for that, okay? It's like just praising him and acknowledging his past faithfulness. And that'll give you confidence in the present, like right now, to just remember, you know what? He's always got me to the other side. He's going to get me to the other side of whatever is going on in my life. All right? So let's start out by doing that. Just as you guys feel led, the worship team will make their way up here. I encourage you, man, don't be shy. Man, you're with your brothers and sisters. If we can't be honest and open with each other, I don't know what we can. So just as you feel led, praise the Lord, and we'll agree with you.